You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
Yo, what's up? Welcome back to the Bet Slippin' Podcast presented by Sportsbook Wire. I'm the host here, Jeff Clark. Well, kind of the co-host. We're actually turning into a new era here on the Bet Slippin' Podcast. For all the usual listeners, you know my handicap and hype man and gambling consigliere over the past few years, Eston McLaren, is no longer with the company. He went off to greener pastures. Hope you guys are all following him on Twitter. He's still the homie. No beefs here. But again, we're turning a new page, and I'm going to bring in my co-host, colleague here at sportsbookwire.com. This is his second appearance technically in the Bet Slippin' Podcast. He was here earlier in the final NFL preview extravaganza piece or podcast, excuse me. Again, making his second appearance on the Bet Slippin' Podcast, my colleague Nathan Beagle. What's up, Nate?
Yep. I'm good to be here. What's up? Glad to be part of the show. Glad to be back. I hope you guys followed my Josh Allen MVP advice from the NFL slate, but no, I'm happy to be here. Been a good day, ready to throw some picks out.
Yeah, that Josh Allen bet slip is aging pretty well. You're getting some sick value on that, right?
Yeah, plus 900 MVP to start.
You're based out in Ohio, correct?
Yeah, Eastern Time, Cincinnati. Big Bengals guy. I write for their SB Nation blog. So, Big Bengals fan. We're crushing it this year too. So,
heck yeah. Do you guys have legalized sports gambling in Ohio?
No, we do not. So there's a lot of legal stuff that goes into it, obviously, but it's on the ballot. I believe it passed the House. It's supposed to be active by like April 22.
Gotcha. Well, why I ask is just because if you placed a Josh Allen bet, which I know a lot of our listeners followed you on, and placed a bet in some sports books, some legalized sports books let you cash out early. So you might be able to actually like get out on that bet now with a profit if you wanted. I didn't know if that was the case for you, but I mean, the pick looks good. He's definitely on the ballot through the first few games and one of the top five.
I've been tracking that because I bet Kyler at plus 2,000 and Josh Allen. And right now the live standings per someone last week, it was Kyler 450, Dak 450, Josh Allen 500.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing really well. Hitting MVP so far. We knew Patrick Mahomes was not coming through.
Well, hopefully the same sharpness that you demonstrated in the NFL preview extravaganza comes out weekly here. Now, what we typically been doing, or what we have been doing since the NFL season started, is me and my former co-host would go through each game. We break down each game throughout the week, our weekly slate. Obviously this week we're doing week 7. You don't have to have like a bet every single game. I pass a whole bunch of them, you know, we're trying to keep it sharp around here. So I don't expect you to have a bet for every single game, but we are going to go through them, give any notes that we have, just discuss the games, and then we'll circle back to our best bets at the end of the podcast with our going to the window segment. More just briefing you and the listeners. It's all good. It's all the same as usual, but we're bringing in Nate here. We might switch it up a little bit now that we're getting the NBA and college basketball is going to be starting soon. Me and Nate are huge basketball fans and handicappers, so we might give you some NBA picks from time to time, pending the sports board or landscape. But without any further ado, let's get into our week 7 breakdown here. We got 6 teams on a bye right now. We got the Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, Jacksonville Jaguars, Los Angeles Chargers, Minnesota Vikings, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like we do every week, and the NFL betting week starts off on Thursday Night Football. This week we have the 3-3 Denver Broncos going to the Cleveland Browns, who are 3-3. Denver was blistered by a John Gruden-less Las Vegas Raiders at home in week 6, 34-24. as 5-point favorites. The Broncos moved to 3-3 against the spread and 2-4 on the over-under this season. They have wins over Jacksonville and both New York teams, losses over Vegas, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore. Cleveland got worked last week by the Arizona Cardinals this past Sunday. They got worked this past Sunday by the Arizona Cardinals, 37-14 as 3-point home favorites. Their injuries are piling up, and they've lost back-to-back games. Baker Mayfield will be replaced by Case Keenum. It was announced earlier today. Again, we're recording Wednesday, October 20th. Don't know if I said that, but Baker Mayfield was announced out earlier today. Cleveland is just 3-3 against the spread this season, 4-2 on the over-under. Nate, the odds are, hold on, let me get over to my little sheet here. And all of our odds, again, are presented by Tipico Sportsbook, which is operational out in Colorado and New Jersey. I'll do a little ad read in between the 1 p.m. and 4 p.m. windows. But Thursday Night Football, Broncos are getting 2.5 points. They're minus 112 on the spread, minus 108 for the Browns. The money line's plus 105 for the Broncos, minus 130 for the Browns, over under 40.5. The over shaded a little bit or a little more expensive. Nate, turn to you first, obviously. Where do you think, or where do you want to put some money in this game, if anywhere at all?
So I think a few things to note for this game are the Browns' injury problems. Baker's out. Baker is already ruled out. Nick Chubb was ruled out. Jadeveon Clowney's questionable. Odell Beckham's questionable. And it looks like Malik Jackson is questionable, with cornerback AJ Green also out. That's a lot. That's a little terrifying to me. I think I would pass on – I understand they're at home. I would pass on the Browns spread here. I might go Browns money line, but I would probably pass on it all. I think personally I would go with the under. It's tough because this is the – I was just looking this up. This is the lowest under of any Tipico total on the weekend. But I can't deny Chubb's out, Case Keenum's out. It looks like Myles Garrett's a full go. The Broncos have been held under 20 points two of their five games. I'm not a big believer in the fact that Teddy Bridgewater can put up or at least average 3 touchdowns a game. And even if they go for 17 or 20, I would bet the under almost strictly based off the injuries. But I think ultimately I might look for better value in the whole NFL slate. What do you think?
I don't hate your takes. I do note that Teddy Covers is 19-3 against the spread as a road underdog for his career. We got a pros versus Joes game. I guess the pros are more money is on the Broncos, so presumably sharp money, and there's more public action on the Browns. Cleveland's got a lot of injuries, like you said. Both tackles are banged up, and they were actually pressured on 15 of 31 dropbacks in week 6 versus Cardinals. Denver's defense has the third highest blitz rate, so they're going to be trying to get to the quarterback. And Von Miller hasn't had a very good season last year, and he knows that NFL pundits and commentators are starting to knock him or starting to question whether the game has passed him by. He said something to the effect that whoever Cleveland's going to start is going to get killed. He said he's going to kill their left tackle. So I think we're going to get a motivated Denver defense. Hopefully they get Jerry Jeudy back. Well, hopefully for Denver, Denver fans, they get Jerry Jeudy back. I do kind of lean towards the under like you as well. I am a little nervous about it being such a short total, but that should probably give me more confidence, actually. Case Keenum is coming in for Baker Mayfield, as I mentioned at the top. Well, he played for Denver's offensive coordinator in Minnesota, you know, Pat Shurmur, the current defensive or offensive coordinator for Denver. So maybe Shurmur can help Denver's defense get under Keenum's skin a little bit. I think it is going to be a get-right game for that defense. So I do lean to the Broncos +2.5, and I do like them as a teaser leg. I have, truthfully, I have lost a whole bunch of games betting a whole bunch of Denver games this year, so I'm a little leery about betting either side of this, but I do lean to the Broncos. Do you have any other thoughts on this game, or do you want to go to the 1 o'clock windows or window?
Yeah, I would just push forward. I don't this Thursday night game doesn't interest me too much, especially with all the injuries. All the star power is going to be out. I mean, we're going with Case Keenum versus Teddy Bridgewater on primetime. Like, you got to be kidding me with that one. So
come on, what's not sexy about that? Former Minnesota Vikings quarterback room battle? Let's go.
There's just so much questionable, especially on the betting line. Like, Case Keenum could go for, I mean, he's had good games in his career. He could go for 3 touchdowns, but are you going to bet on that? Are you going to bet against that? With all the injuries, I would probably stay away from it, but at the same time, it might help you.
Yeah, you know, I love arguing, but I can't argue with you here, Nate. Good points. Let's move on to the 1 o'clock window where we got 6 games to cover. I'll start off with the Washington football team going to Green Bay to play the Packers. Washington's 2-4. They lost their 2nd straight last week to the Kansas City Chiefs, 31-13, as 6-point home underdogs. Washington is 1-5 against the spread and 4-2 over under this year. Green Bay won its 5th straight, moving to 5-1 after owning the Bears 24-14 on their home turf, covering as 5.5-point home favorites. The Packers are 5-1 against the spread as well and 2-4 over under. That 38-31 week one whooping by the Saints feels like a distant memory for Green Bay. Right now, the odds, according to Typico Sportsbook, we got Green Bay laying 7.5 -115 for that number, -105 for Washington's +7.5. The money lines are +290 for Washington, -380 for Green Bay. The over under is 48.5 with the over juice to -112, the under -108. Nate Dogg, how you feeling about this game? What do you think?
You know, I usually don't do this. This is very unlike Nate Dogg thing, but I'm going to say roll with the Packers. They've covered in 5 straight games. And honestly, it's almost more a slant against Washington football team. Heinicke showed great in that last playoff game. He's had 1 3 touchdown game. He's had an interception in 4 of the 6. And Washington's losing to bad teams. They lost to the Chiefs last week by 18. Obviously the Chiefs are good. Let's look at their other wins. They beat the Falcons by 4, beat the Giants by 1, lost to the Bills by 22, lost to the Saints, which are, we know they're actually not as good as the Packers, by 11, and they lost to the Chargers. On the road, I'm not rolling with Washington. I'm going to roll with the Packers, even at 10. The Packers have been dominant. Doesn't look like anyone can stop Devontae Adams. Rodgers is back. He owns Chicago, and he's going to own Washington, too.
You said even at 10. Does that mean you wrote your notes with it minus 10? Because it's down to 7.5. You're getting more value.
Oh, shoot. I thought I saw on Tipico it was...
Maybe I have the wrong numbers. I'm just going off of our parent company's website. Hey, they could be wrong, right? Things happen. So let me fire up the app. Which I'll read an ad for here in a second. I could be off on the odds and just ruin the listening experience for the whole audience. So my apologies.
Yeah, if it were 8, let's see.
You no, you're loan? Right.
It's 7.5. It's not 10. Listen, guys, I would take it at 10. Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm definitely taking 7.5 if I'm taking 10. So, like I said before, Aaron Rodgers is back. He owns Chicago. He's going to win by more than a touchdown. It's at home. Green Bay's covered 5 straight games. I would probably stay away from what I'm looking at is a 48 total.
Okay.
I'm not putting my money. I have yet to put my money this season on Taylor Heinicke. He has 1 3 touchdown game. Antonio Gibson's been good, but Taylor Heinicke's thrown 0 or 1 touchdowns in half the games this season. So I'm rolling against the total, and I'm rolling for Green Bay. What are your thoughts?
I actually like the total. I'm going to take it to the window with me. I like the under 48.5. You made a lot of good points, one of which I do think defenses are catching up to Taylor Heinicke. He looked great in his first few starts and brought a little bit of pop with his legs to that Washington offense. But I think the league is starting to catch up to him. While the factors for me liking the under are, one of which is it's a look-ahead spot for Green Bay, which is why I'd prefer Green Bay and a teaser leg as opposed to just laying the 7.5. I don't hate laying the 7.5. That's definitely the only side I'd play it. I'm just saying maybe that's a little nitty, but I think I would go with the teaser leg for Green Bay if I were to play a side in this. But it is a look-ahead spot. Like I just said, they're playing the Cardinals in Week 8, so I'm expecting Green Bay not to show a lot on offense against a weak Washington defense. Also, they're the 6th slowest pace offense in the league according to Football Outsiders, so I think we're going to get a muted game plan, offensive scheme from Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers, and the Cheeseheads. Also, we got some reverse line movement on the total. It opened at 50 points, or a 50-point total, and despite around 75%, actually a little more than 75% of the action being on the over, it's ticking down to 48.5. Both defenses actually do a really good job of limiting explosive plays. Washington's defense has been terrible this year, but it's a lot of mostly it has to do with not being able to get off the field on third down. We know Aaron Rodgers is awesome on third down, so they'll keep the chains moving, right? I think they'll keep the chains moving and keep that clock running, but because the book is out on Taylor Heinicke, that offense really isn't that good. They're also banged up. They got 4 offensive starters that missed practice this Wednesday. I don't think we get many points out of Washington. I do think we do have a muted Green Bay offensive scheme, so I like the under 48.5. I said we move over to what I think is one of the games of the week, if not the game of the week, with the Cincinnati Bengals and Baltimore Ravens. But do you have any rebuttal to anything I said?
I don't think so. I would actually just like to add, I was looking up, Green Bay ranks 5th in yards allowed, 5th to last, so 315, which is 5th best. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I think they'll stump Heinicke. I think the under rocks, too.
All righty, cool. Let's go over to, like I said, the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens here. The Cincinnati Bengals moved to 4-2 after hammering the Detroit Lions 34-11 last week. This Bengals team looks legit on both sides of the ball. Also, Burrow is the 6th highest graded quarterback according to Pro Football Focus. Cincinnati's 3-3 against the spread and 1-5 in the over-under. Baltimore moved to 5-1, won its 5th straight game against the Los Angeles Chargers 34-6, and probably was the most impressive victory by any team at any point this season. Lamar had a subpar game, but Baltimore's defense stepped up in a huge way. The Ravens are 3-3 against the spread, 3-3 on the over-under. The typical sports book has the Ravens favored 6.5 minus 112. It's minus 108 to get the 6.5 with the Bengals. Money lines are plus 230 for the Bengals, minus 300 for the Ravens. The over-under is 47.5 with the under juice to 113. The over sitting at 103 right now. Cincinnati's your beloved hometown team. I know you're excited about them. I'll let you take first crack at this handicap. What are you thinking? Do you bet on your own team, actually? That's what I find. That's the first question I have for you.
So I would like everyone to know that all of this game is going to be slightly biased because I've bet on my team every week. And I have only been hurt once because I teased Green Bay. I teased us at Green Bay because I thought we were going to get slaughtered by Green Bay. Instead, everyone decided to miss field goals. So we've only lost 2 games this season. One of them was to Chicago, which is going to go down as the worst loss of the season for Cincinnati. And the other one was to Green Bay, which is also a 3-point loss. And we all know how good Green Bay is. I'm going to lay it on the 6.5, the plus 6.5. I think the Bengals are that good. I think Burrow's been able to kind of show that he's back. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase has also been one of the best, if not the best, rookie this season. Their offense is looking explosive. Their defense ranks top 10 or bottom 10, however you want to say it, in opponent's yards per game at only 331. Their run defense has been spectacular. Their defensive line, Trey Hendrickson, I believe has 5.5 sacks in 6 games. Overall, the Bengals have been looking great. I like them. I'm not a big total fan on this one. The Ravens are a bit too explosive for me to love the total. But, yeah, I would roll it with the Bengals plus 6.5.
Word. I leaned with the Bengals plus 6.5. Baltimore covers big numbers. I think the Cincinnati team's legit. I'm a huge fan of Joe Burrow. All of a sudden, Zach Taylor isn't a horrible coach once you get a good quarterback. Go figure. Go figure how that works, right? That's life in the NFL, right? I mean, Kyle Shanahan has a sub 50% winning percentage, but when he has Jimmy Garoppolo at halfway decent quarterback, they win games. So, I mean, I do think the Cincinnati team is legit, and I think they became more legit when they with their defense. There is a tough divisional matchup between two good defenses, which is part of the reason why I like the under 47. Cincinnati's defense is 7th in EPA per play. Baltimore's is 12th. Also, Baltimore's defense starting to figure things out after it was hit by cluster injuries in the, you know, in the preseason and early on. They looked awesome last week against the Chargers. Both teams are really good in high leverage situations, third down and red zone defenses. We got some reverse line movement towards the total. This game opened at a 48.5 point total and is being lowered despite 90% of the action, roughly, according to pregame.com, being on the over. Both teams are actually slow paced. Baltimore is 24th in neutral situation pace, according to Football Outsiders, and Cincinnati's dead last. I do think this game is going to come under. I am nervous of like a 27-17 Ravens win, even though I do like the Bengals and I like their ceiling this year. I think the safer play actually is the under 47. So, spoiler, but I am going to take that to the window with me. Do you have any rebuttals, objections, or final thoughts before we go on to the next game?
Yeah, I think both defenses are good. The Bengals defense has some emerging stars. The Bengals offense has also looked stagnant at times, especially in the first half. I definitely don't mind the under in this one.
All righty, good stuff.
So, yeah.
Let's go over to the next game, which I have here. This is my hometown team, actually, the Carolina Panthers. Visiting the New York Giants. Right now, or Carolina moved to 3-3 with a loss at home and overtime to the Minnesota Vikings, 34-28. And Sam Darnold's struggles continue. He completed just 17 of 40 passes for 207 yards, one touchdown to one interception. Panthers moved to 3-3 against the spread and 2-4 in the over-under this year. Giants got embarrassed by the Los Angeles Rams on their home turf, 38-11, and moved to 1-5 in the season, adding some insult to injury. The G-men sent Andrew Thomas to the IR. Recent breakout wide receiver Kadarius Toney is doubtful to play as he exited the game early with a sprained ankle. Kenny Galladay and Barkley are questionable, and the Giants are 2-4 against the spread, 3-2-1 on the over-under. Since this is my hometown team, I'll just wrap up my peace of mind, my thoughts first. I differ than you in the sense that I know I'm biased and I almost will never bet the New York Giants or teams that I like during the regular season. Obviously, you know, I love gambling, so come the postseason, if one of my teams are actually in it, yeah, I probably will throw some money on them because I can't help myself. But as far as like the listeners go or like my public sports betting, I guess, record, I'm not going to actually give out the Giants as a best bet or a pick ever. And I don't really like this matchup for them as well. I mean, they're a stay away with all their injuries. You know, the left side of the offensive line is just completely decimated. Nick Gates and Shane Lemieux, both are left guards. They're on IR. Andrew Thomas just got sent to the injured reserve, and he was one of the best left tackles in the game actually through the first few weeks. Three of our four wide receivers are questionable, so it's bad news in New York. Looks like another lost season. But Carolina is a road favorite to stay away from me as well. They're 25th in DVOA. The Giants only 27th, so there's not a lot of difference between these two teams. We got some reverse line movement in New York's direction. At least on the consensus line, more than 80% of the money is on Carolina, but the line is ticking down slightly on the consensus, maybe not on Tipico. The under was peppered with sharp money, but it's been steamed down from 45 down to the current number. I have no issue with that. I'm just going to pass here. Do you have a play, anything on this game?
I think if I had a play, I would play the under. It looks like right now it's at 42.5. As you said, let's look. Barkley, Galladay, John Ross, Caden Smith, Kadarius Toney, they all didn't practice. Most of them probably won't play. That's pretty embarrassing. Danny Dimes, when he didn't have Barkley for most of last season, had 11 touchdowns and 10 interceptions in 14 starts. He has not thrown a touchdown in 3 of 6 games. I think it's a brutal slate of injuries for the Giants. Without Barkley, I'm not sure how they're going to move the ball. Carolina ranks third overall in opponents' yards per game. They just got Stephon Gilmore. At 42.5, it seems like a relatively lower line. Also, given the amount of drops Panthers receivers have, I was just thought of that when I was watching the game. I was trying to get an actual number, but I don't think I'll be able to find it while also preserving any listeners' valuable time. Should have had that one prepared.
No, let me get you. Let me help you out. Keep talking. I got you.
So the Panthers dropped the ball. It was pretty awful last week. I'm not going to trust in them. I'm not quite sure, but I'm pretty sure Christian McCaffrey hit the IR and he's out, right? Yeah, he won't return till week 9.
Sam Darnold there were 7 drops last week for the Carolina offense. Drop rate of 17.9%. So,
and
not
that
good.
Is why they throw it to Christian McCaffrey 12 times a game.
just to kind of give you some more, I guess, perspective for that. Jimmy Garoppolo is leading the NFL in drop rate at 8%. So 17.9 is rather high. Good call.
So Carolina has a very good defense and their receivers literally can't catch the ball. Both star running backs are out and the line is 42.5, which actually isn't that low considering the Broncos still have a ton of their threats and theirs is at 40. I'm rolling with the under and I'm staying away from, if I had to drop something, it would probably be -3.5, but I really don't like playing road favorites. So I'd probably drop it on the under. Seems like a trend we're liking this week.
Yeah, I have 3 unders here on my bet slip, and because I'm somewhat new to hosting this slate and not the show, but still kind of a below average host, I forgot to give you the odds of this game. The Giants are getting 3.5 at home, -130 for their spread. Panthers +105 at -135. Money lines -165 for the visiting Panthers, +133 for the host Giants. The over under is 42.5. Like you had mentioned, you like the under, which is a little cheap right now. It's -105 while the under is 115. I've exhausted all my New York Giants commentary. Let's move on to the next game. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Sure. So who likes the Giants anyway?
Yeah. Well, just dumbasses. I'll tell you that. Gluttons for punishment. Going over to perhaps the second best game, or if not, best game of the week. We got a rematch of the AFC title game from a couple years ago with the Kansas City Chiefs at the Tennessee Titans. Kansas City moved to 3-3 after smacking around a hapless Washington football team 31-13 in FedEx Field, Washington's home turf, last week. Mahomes is still throwing stupid interceptions, but at least the defense showed some life last week against Washington. Chiefs are 2-4 against the spread and 4-2 over to the under. Again, because of their terrible defense. Tennessee moved to 4-2 with an awesome nail-biting victory against the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football in Week 6. Derrick Henry trampled Buffalo's defense for 143 yards and 3 scores, which begs the question, can a running back win MVP? I don't know. Guess not. Titans are 4-2 against the spread, the and on the over-under. The lines, the odds are Titans getting 5.5 at home, -105 for that line, -115 for the Chiefs. Money lines are -240 for the Chiefs, +190 at home for the Titans. And the over-unders, 57.5. I like this game. I have a pick here that I'm taking to the window, but I'll let you get a first crack at this. Do you like a side or a total in this game, Nate?
I do like a side, and I think we've been harping on the unders all day, but over 57.5, it's a high line, but it's a total that I'm going with. Why? Basically because the Titans offense, I've been sleeping on it this entire year. They're that good. Derrick Henry's on pace to set the single season rushing record, although we do have 17 games this season. And Kansas City's rush defense is that bad. Chris Jones is expected to be back, but they're giving up 27th most rushing yards in the league at 133. Derrick Henry is probably averaging that many as well. And he's just been a beast. I watched him play Buffalo, who is considered to have one of the better, I believe they have one of the better run defenses. Yes, they rank 7th in rushing yards allowed, one of the 8 teams that allow under 100 yards per game. And Derrick Henry ran over them. He had a monster touchdown up the middle, and he had 3 touchdowns on the game, and they won that game. That was a high-scoring game with A.J. Brown getting back to health, Julio Jones back, and then just all the weapons the Chiefs have. I see it being high-scoring. I think I'd stay away from the 5.5. The Titans showed me enough last week, and the Chiefs' defense is bad enough to where if I had to pick a side, I would lay it on the Titans. But again, I believe you were saying this game's in Arrowhead, right?
No, it's in Nissan Stadium in Nashville, I believe. Well, Tennessee.
All right, looks like I might change my view, and Titans 5.5 then. But I still like the over, if anything. So over, tight, and then the Titans 5.5 if you're looking to play this game from me.
Word. Yeah, I'm a sucker, dude. I'm going to take the Titans 5.5. It's a square play, you know. In fact, more money is on the Chiefs. More bets are on the Titans. But I think it's a fake sharp play if you're betting the Chiefs here. Obviously, the Titans are getting a lot of love for a big primetime win over a great team, the Buffalo Bills. And that's usually a spot that you want to fade the team, or excuse me, usually want to fade that team the next week. But I mean, it's not like this should be a letdown game. Obviously, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think everyone, or the sharps, whoever, are betting KC based on history and reputation, not based on what we have actually seen this year. They're turnover prone. They are -8 in turnover differential. Like I said off the top, Mahomes is throwing these weird, stupid passes and picks. It's almost like, and I talked about this weeks ago, he doesn't have any humility. The guy throws no-look passes and has, you know, the right arm of God, but, you know, these defenses are professionals as well and can make some plays out there. Kansas City's defense is a real struggle. I was gonna call it their professionalism, but that's a little too far. They're just terrible on third down, terrible on red zone, really just terrible everywhere on the field. And teams that aren't good on both sides of the ball, they shouldn't be laying 5.5 on the road versus good teams. Tennessee beat Kansas City outright 35-32 at home in week 10 of 2019. And maybe historical trends are void of some context, but Kansas City was favored 5 in that game. And what's the difference between these two teams, right? The major differences were we didn't know that Tennessee and Tannehill were a fit at that point. So I kind of understand why they'd be getting 5.5 at home against an awesome Kansas City team at that time. And Kansas City's defense has regressed since then. Also, eyeball test, man. I think Tennessee's offense is actually better. Like, they pretty much have the same issues as a team, but Tennessee's offense is a lot more balanced. They're 11-4 against the spread as an underdog of 3.5 or more since Mike Vrabel's first year on the team, or first year as head coach. And another thing that adds to that is the back door is wide open with a 5.5-point spread, and Tennessee can get chunk plays via land or air against this Kansas City defense. It's kind of a sucker play, but I'm going to take the Titans 5.5.
What's cool? I definitely don't hate it, especially after that showing they had versus the Bills. You got to love the Titans there.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think they're legit. And if you look at their losses, Arizona Cardinals, yeah, they got stomped. Arizona is a legit team, I think, this year. I mean, that's not a hot take. They're 6-0 and they're 5-1 against the spread. I believe we'll talk about them later. And they lost to the Jets. Granted, embarrassing. I'm from New York. Anytime you lose to the Jets, part of you dies as a fan base. But they were missing both wide receivers and went into overtime. Probably should have won that game. So I actually don't knock Titans too much for their losses, and I still think they're underrated by the market. Anyways, let's go over to an AFC East battle with the New York Jets visiting the New England Patriots. It's actually the second meeting of these two teams this year. The Patriots won the first meeting 25-6 thanks to 4 Wilson interceptions. New England, the Belichick defense, had Zach Wilson seeing ghosts in week 2, but New York is 1-4. They had an off week after losing to the Atlanta Falcons 27-20 in London the week prior. They're 1-4 against the spread and 2-3 on the over-under. New England fell to 2-4 last week after a 34-28 overtime thrilling loss, unfortunately, at home to the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys covered as 3.5-point favorites with an overtime touchdown. The odds for this game, according to Tipico Sportsbook, is the Jets are getting 6.5. It's juiced to 102, plus 102, actually. So I guess the juice is more on the Patriots, right? 6.5, it's minus 125. Money lines are Jets plus 260, Patriots minus 340. The over-under is 42.5, the over-juice of 115, and the under minus 105. Nate Dogg, what do you got on this game?
For this game, well, this game was hard for me, mainly because if I were betting it, and which I will be betting it at some point, I'm probably going to stick to Patriots in a teaser. I like them at home at Gillette. I don't like minus 340 necessarily, but I also don't like minus 6.5. They played a close game to Dallas last week. They lost by 6, and that was an overtime game, I believe. And they just haven't shown enough for me to like minus 6.5. Yes, they took Tom Brady. They lost by 2 to Tom Brady. That was also in the pouring rain. I'm pretty sure Tom seemed like he would have lit them up any normal game. They lost. They won at Houston by 3. They lost to Miami to open the season. There are just a lot of things that with this Patriots team, I'm not trusting 6.5 points. If I had to lay anything, I trust them to win. I trust Mac Jones to win. Their defense is slightly better in yards per game, although that's definitely not always the best indicator. Mac Jones is heating up. He's hit over 70% of his passes in what looks like 5 of 6 games. I think he's the better quarterback. I think he's the better rookie. I'm not going 6.5. I'm probably staying away from the total too. This might be a game I pass on completely. I don't know. This NFC battle is not one I'm looking forward to. And if I had to, I would lay it on a teaser on the Patriots.
I don't hate that. You know, New England's 4-8 against the spread as a favorite since the beginning of last year. Tom Brady effect, you know? Or no Tom Brady effect in this case.
At the same time, the Patriots had already crushed the Jets this season. And the Jets, this is also the Tom Brady effect, are 0-11 in their last 11 versus the Patriots. So,
at least 10 of them was heavy on the Tom Brady effect.
Yeah, 10 of them was Tom Brady. Well, you got to think last year too. So New England, Cam Newton was able to get 2 on the Jets, who were still terrible last season.
For sure. But in week 2, the Jets actually had more first downs, more time possession, more total yards. It was Wilson's 4 interceptions that were the death blow. And it's Bill Belichick. Like, it can happen again, of course, right? That's why I only lean to the Jets +6.5. I like your take of teasing it. That's that's most likely a plus EV teaser leg. So I don't hate that at all. I just think it's a much better spot on the spread, on the regular spread line for the Jets and the Patriots. Patriots are coming off an impressive loss. They had Nance and Romo on the call. They're getting 98% of the money, but the line is getting a little cheaper. The Patriots opened at around a touchdown. It's ticking down slightly. Also, with the lopsided one-way action, like, why isn't this at -7 right now? And the line feels cheap. They were laying 6.5. In New York in week 2, they just look good against Dallas. They look good against Tampa Bay a couple weeks ago. Like, why is this not over 7 with the Patriots at home? I think the house is begging people to take the Patriots line 6.5, so I can see this being a field goal game. And Patriots are getting a lot of love, but they were outgained by Dallas by 232 total yards last week. They had a lot of fluky plays. And the Jets lead in pressure rate, third down rate, and red zone scoring rate differential. So I like I lean to the Jets +6.5, but that's all I got on
this.
Yeah,
I don't.
Oh, go ahead.
Again, I don't hate that either. That's kind of what I was thinking. I was staying away from this game. I will probably not bet this game.
Yeah, and let me tell you, one of the worst feelings, you probably know this, but one of the worst feelings as a sports bettor is losing with the New York Jets. It hurts. It's not as bad as losing with the Detroit Lions, but it's pretty close. It's pretty close. They're just kind of cursed. But I'm not going to kick the Jets while they're down. One of my favorite fan bases. Those guys are rowdy over there. Let's go to the final 1 o'clock game today on the week 7 slate. We got the Atlanta Falcons visiting the Miami Dolphins. The Atlanta Falcons, as mentioned earlier, beat the New York Jets in London 2 weeks ago, but had a bye last week. The Falcons have only beat the two New York football teams, or 2-3 against the spread, and 3-2 on the over under, but they're 2-5 straight up, I believe. So Miami is 1-5 against the spread. They're 1-5 straight up. They lost their fifth in a row and a 23-20 loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars, 2.5-point favorites in London last week. It was Tua's first game back from an injury that he sustained the first quarter of Miami's week 2 loss to the Buffalo Bills. The Dolphins actually opted not to get a bye week in week 7 after just playing in London last week. They're 2-4 against the spread, 3-3 on the over-under. The odds for this game are the Falcons are actually favored 2.5, laying -117. In Miami, Miami's getting 2.5, -103 at home. Money line's -140 for Atlanta, +115 for the Dolphins. The over-under is 47.5, the juice -110 each way. Do you have a play in this game, Nate Dogg?
Yeah, I have a play that all I'm going to say is last week on our site, Sportsbook Wire, I called the Jags beating Miami. After watching that game in London, waking up at 9:30 Eastern time to get some NFL action in, I was very impressed by Tua. And I honestly think if Devontae Parker, if they can get healthy, their defense ranks 30th in yards per game. If Xavien, I'm not good with names either.
I feel good about the way I feel good about Xavien. Let's do that.
Yeah, we'll go with Xavien and he can correct us when he listens.
And he is a listener. So if we mess that up, my apologies.
If he plays and Devontae Parker plays and they get their weapons back, Preston Williams, I believe I looked it up earlier. They're all listed as questionable on ESPN's website right now. I'm sure there's probably better breakdowns of that. I saw the Sun Centennial wrote something on him. Either way, I think I'm trusting Tua. He's coming off just getting back into action. He threw 330 yards against Jacksonville and he looked pretty good. They didn't finish a lot of drives in that game. But I think as he gets his weapons back, as he gets feeling better, it's at home. I understand the long week versus the short week. That's probably a reasonable factor and the loss to the Jags, why it's plus money. But I think a plus money at, what was it, 115?
Yeah, money line 115.
Is one that I would like to take. I think it's a bank that Tua can outperform a lackadaisical Falcons defense.
So to your point, I agree with almost everything you said, which I don't know if that makes good content, but whatever. We're lock and step on this one. I think it's a buy low spot for Miami and a sell high spot for Atlanta. Miami was -3.5 in the preseason line. We get a 6-point swing based on what? Atlanta's 2 victories against New York football teams? I mean, come on. And I think there's too much of an overreaction to Miami's loss to Jacksonville. I loved your handicap on this game last week. It's a game that I bet as well. We were on the same page with that one. I actually don't think Jacksonville is as bad as their record or the media makes them out to be. They actually do certain things really well, like run the ball. So I think their mistakes were correctable. And Miami was missing, like you said, Devontae Parker and both starting cornerbacks, one of which, Xavien Howard, is one of the best defensive players in the league, if not the best cornerback, cover corner in the league. Miami's 28th in total DVOA. Atlanta's dead last. I lean to the Dolphins +2.5 because I am gonna wait for the final injury report. If Byron Jones, I think that's the other cornerback's name, Xavien Howard and or Devontae Parker don't play, I'm passing. But if they get announced in, this line is going to get below 2.5, and we're going to be out of the zone of an advantage teaser spot. You want to tease them above the key numbers of 7, 7.5, and actually 8 is becoming more of a key number because of the extra points being lengthened a few years ago. So getting it under or over 8.5 is more of a spot for me, and I'll be going to the window with that. But that's all I got for this game and the 1 o'clock window. Do you want to move on to the 4 o'clock window?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else. I think that was a pretty good recap. I think it's kind of positive that we thought alike on some of those in the sense of if you're better and you like the advice, hopefully you can follow that.
Yeah, and if you guys are paying attention and track the ones that we agree on, look at the record. Maybe you can fade or follow us. I don't know. This will be a developing conversation we'll be having over the next few weeks. So we'll
see. Need a superstar listener to pick every under and tell us how we did.
Yeah, for sure. Fade us. Let us know. Let me pay some bills real quick. So, Tipico Sportsbook is our presenting sponsor here and the sponsor of our website, sportsbookwire.com. And they are a global sports betting leader now live in New Jersey and Colorado. You can make your favorite sports more interesting with Tipico's fast and easy mobile sportsbook app. For a limited time, new users from this podcast will enjoy a special welcome bonus. Terms and conditions apply. You must be 21 or older to play. See site for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey or 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado. Get your bonus today at usatodaybet.com/podcast. That's usatodaybet.com/podcast. Now that we're done paying the bills, let's go to the 4 o'clock window where we have four games. We'll start off with the Philadelphia Eagles visiting the Las Vegas Raiders. Philadelphia moved to 2-4, but snuck in the back door of a 28-22 Thursday night football loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in week six as 6.5 point home underdogs. The Eagles are now 3-3 against the spread and 2-4 in the over/under this year. Las Vegas moved to 4-2 and rallied after a tumultuous week to beat up on the Denver Broncos 34-24 as 5-point road underdogs in a game that wasn't as close as actually the final score indicated. Derek Carr is playing like a top 10 quarterback, and the Raiders are second in the AFC West. They're 3-3 against the spread and on the over under. The odds for this game are the Raiders laying 3.5 at +102, -125 to get 3 in the hook with the Eagles. The money lines are +133 for Philly, -165 for Vegas. Over under sits at 49.5. With the over and under both sitting at your usual -110. Nate Dogg, what are you feeling, or how are you feeling about this game?
Oh, I'm feeling good about this game. This game is surprisingly, I think the Eagles are a really fun team to watch. So I will enjoy watching this game. Now, betting wise, it's not one I love. I don't love the spread at all. I don't love +3.5 or -3.5. I will say I'm going to lean to the over. Both teams have a bottom 10 defense. I believe, again, I don't love the yards per game feature, but it is one that it kind of does show how well you're able to stop the other team from first down, stop the other team from progressing down the field. Just for the numbers, it looks like Las Vegas. Oh, geez, I'm all backwards here. But either way, they were both in the bottom half of the league. Jalen Hurts hasn't had great games. He's thrown 4 interceptions on the season. And Derek Carr is looking like an MVP. No one's actually bringing him into the conversation, but he's thrown for 1,946 yards. He's averaging 8.4 a throw. They were able to get Henry Ruggs going last week. The Raiders, it looks like they've scored over 25 in 4 of 6 games this season. It's kind of relatively a higher over-under at, what was it, 49.5? But I would take the over. I think both teams just have an explosive offense. And over at Allegiant, I think it'll be a high-scoring match.
All right. I like the Eagles as a teaser, even though it's not your standard Wong teaser. You know, it's right now the Eagles are at 3.5. I actually do think they'll get down to 2.5 before kickoff. But I'll tease it up to 9.5. On this podcast since 2018, when Voldemort got into town, you know, he who should not be named who's no longer on the team. The Raiders are 4-9 against the spread with a -7 point spread differential. It's not good to lay points at the Raiders, at least in the previous regime. And I don't see much difference between, you know, the Raiders from 2 weeks ago to the Raiders now. They got an inspired effort last week. Philly's actually better in DVOA. Both defenses don't allow explosive plays, but Vegas' offense really kind of lives off explosive plays. They had 6 Raiders that caught at least one ball of 20-plus yards last week against Denver. So hopefully Philly's defense is ready for those shot plays at Derek Carr, and that offense likes to draw up. Las Vegas is actually below average in third down and red zone offense because mostly, again, they live off of or they thrive off of chunk plays. But I actually like Philly in the spot as a teaser. I lean to them +3.5 outright. I might actually include them in the Circa Millions depending on how the injury reports stack up, because this offensive line is getting healthier. I think they're going to get Lane Johnson back. Hurts does some things. He's a gamer. He's able to extend plays with his feet. And the Eagles can get in the back door with a number of 3.5 because of Hurts' explosive ability. And they have sneaky good pass weapons or skill position players for him and the team to work with. So I lean Eagles 3.5, like it as a teaser, but that's all I got on that game. I don't know if you have any other thoughts, but I say we move on to the next game.
Yeah, I just figured I'd chime in to correct myself, but they both rank bottom half in rushing yards, and that might even help you because Philadelphia Hurts lives off being able to get out of the pocket and running. Vegas ranks 25th in rushing yards per game at 130. They don't typically run with Miles Sanders a lot, so maybe that'll let Hurts get out of the pocket and get himself going on the ground.
All right, so the next three games are mostly going to be interesting to bettors because they are high spread games, and this is what keeps people tuned into these type of games. But we'll start off with the first major huge double-digit spread of the week with the Detroit Lions visiting the Los Angeles Rams. Detroit dropped to 0-6 and are still winless after getting pounced on by the Bengals 34-11 on their home turf. Lions head coach Dan Campbell went from distraught about his team losing close games to pissed off at Jared Goff, calling out his first-year quarterback in a post-game press conference. Detroit is 3-3 against the spread and 2-4 in the over-under. The Los Angeles Rams beat the crap out of the New York Giants. I think it was 38-11 last week. I believe they moved to 4-2 on the I got to look this up specifically, Nate. I don't have it written down. Excuse me. They're 5-1 overall, 4-2 against the spread, 4-1-1 on the over-under. Right now, the odds at Tipico Sportsbook are the Rams are laying -14.5 with a juice slightly down -108. To get 14.5 the Lions, you got to lay -112. Money lines, -1100 for the Rams, so that's stay away. +650, the Detroit Lions money line. The over-under is 15.5, the over-juice to 115, the under at 105. This is going to be a stay away for me. I do like the under Lions 16.5 team total, which is juiced to 105 or juiced down up. I don't know. It's at 105 on Tipico Sportsbook. I'm not really in the business of laying more than two TDs, especially publicly, but I can make a case for the under, or at least the team total under on the Detroit Lions, which I'll do here in a second. But what are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, this game's a hard one for bettors. Like you said, 14.5. I think it's a good game to tease. I definitely don't like the Rams at 2 touchdowns. I definitely like them at just over a touchdown. And it's really just a play against the Lions. Goff hasn't been able to move the ball. The Lions haven't been that bad. I don't think they've scored over 20 games, or they've scored over 20 once, and that was a opener against San Fran. Goff's relying on Hockenson. He looked like he threw it that way or to Swift literally every time he even dropped back on Sunday. I think with Ramsey and Donald, I think they'll be able to get at him. Even at 8.5, it really is tough to back a spread of that size, because honestly, I don't think the Rams are a top two team in the league. Now, I will say at home, the Lions are coming off a 23-point loss to the Bengals. The Rams have a top five offense in the league. I can understand going with the -14.5. I think I would stay away from laying anything on the Lions. I think I would also probably stay away from the total on this one. So there's a lot of action, but if anything, I might bet on the Rams for a bit, but nothing too crazy on this one.
Yeah, I'm not going to play a side here. I do like the under Lions team total, 16.5. I just think the Rams defense are going to be motivated to squash Jared Goff and especially Sean McVay as well. I know he's more of an offensive guru, but they do not want Jared Goff to look good in this game. You know that's the vibe in L.A. Also, Aaron Donald should be in the backfield all day. Detroit center, which is their highest graded PFF offensive lineman, Frank Ragnow, went on the IR. So the offensive line wasn't that good anyways, and it just got worse. Similar point to what you made earlier, Lions have scored 17 or fewer points in 5 straight games. third worst offensive EPA per play, 28th in offensive DVOA, and Goff is graded 26th by PFF. Just like the vibe. It's kind of a bummer. The vibe sucks out there in Detroit. Dan Campbell, like I said, he went from crushed his guys are losing in heartbreaking ways to this quarterback sucks. Like, week over week. Not good. Jared Goff can't feel great. The team isn't talented. The only reason they had stuck around in some of these games is because they were playing really hard. So if the quarterback is getting thrown on the bus by the head coach, I really think the offense is going to struggle this week. And again, we're going to get a motivated and talented Rams defense in this spot. So I'll play under 16.5 Detroit Lions points. I'm not going to take that to the window with me. I'll leave that here. And for all the listeners that don't just skip right to the best bets. But let's go over to the Chicago Bears visiting the Super Bowl defending or the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Chicago fell to 3-3 after taking its annual beating at home by the Green Bay Packers in week 6, 24-14. Maggie might be back in the hot seat. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But rookie quarterback Justin Fields is the starter moving forward, and the kid has struggled from the pocket. Fields grades dead last of quarterbacks by PFF and in EPA over EPA plus completion percentage over expectation composite. The Bears are 3-3 against the spread and 1-5 in the over-under. Tampa Bay moved to 5-1 after just rolling through the Philadelphia Eagles 28-22 in a game that was a lot worse than the score indicated. They beat them on Thursday Night Football on the road but couldn't cover. 6.5-point spread, as we talked about a few minutes ago. Tom Brady's playing at an MVP level, and Tampa Bay's run defense is pretty much a steel curtain. They're 2-4 against the spread and 4-2 on the over-under. The odds, according to Tipico Sportsbook, are the Buccaneers are laying 12.5, but it's minus 108, while the Bears plus 12.5 is minus 112. Money lines, Tampa Bay minus 750, plus 500 for the Bears. The over-under is 47.5. The under juiced up to minus 117. The over sitting at 103. Are you taking a stab at this one, Nate Dogg?
Yeah, so I'm not going to say I ultimately love taking 12.5 points, but the Bucs are at home. They're minus 12.5, and I think Justin Fields has got a relatively soft schedule so far. Let's look at who he's played as a starter. He somehow beat Cincinnati. Joe Burrow had three straight interceptions. That game was insane. They lost by 20 to Cleveland. They played Detroit. They played the Raiders the week before Gruden was exiled or kicked off or fired, parted ways, whatever you want to call it.
We'll call it cancel. I think that's the proper nomenclature.
That was 20-9. That was a tough one for Vegas. That was at Allegiant. So that was at Allegiant. Either way, I don't even know if the Raiders had were in that game. And then they lost to 10 by Green Bay. I believe Damian Williams will be back. And honestly, I don't really care. I think they're going to struggle to move the ball. When you have a team that's allowing under 60 rush yards per game, you're going to ask Justin Fields to throw. And you're going to ask him to throw a lot. And on the season, hasn't completed more than 65% of his passes in a game he started. I expect Tom Brady at home to win by more than 2 touchdowns. It's a risky bet just because 12.5 is a lot, and Chicago has a reasonably capable defense, but I'm rocking with Green Bay. I'm avoiding the 47.5 total. If anything, I go the under because, again, I'm not going to trust Chicago to be able to get in the end zone more than twice against a good defense. They haven't shown me they can.
I really like your handicap on this one. I don't have much to add. I'm going to pass on the game. The pros are betting the under. The Joes are hitting the over. So that's a sharp take by you. Everyone's betting Tampa Bay, and the line is moving appropriately. They started at 10. Were they at 12.5 on Tipico? And
yeah,
I don't know what the consensus line is. So, I mean, everyone's betting them. The house is moving it in the right direction. I don't see any problem with the action. I just don't, like you said, I don't see how the Bears put up points. You know, like, they need to be able to run the ball to give Justin Fields, you know, some help. The running game is the quarterback's best friend, is the old adage. You know, maybe Tampa Bay's banged up defense helps Chicago find some success on offense, but I mean, that's really gambling. I mean, Bears are second in rushing rate. Tampa Bay has the best rushing defense in the league. I just can't make a quality case for the Bears, and if anything, I would just lay the points of the Bucks, but I pretty much exhaust my handicap on that game. Let's go over to the final 4 o'clock game, which is the Houston Texans visiting the Arizona Cardinals. Houston lost its fifth straight this past Sunday, 31-3 to the Indianapolis Colts in week six this past Sunday. I already said that. They were 11.5-point underdogs in the closing line. Houston's offense is just struggling with rookie quarterback Davis Mills at the controls. The Texans have scored just 34 points in the past 4 weeks, with 22 of them actually coming against New England in week five. Houston's 3-3 against the spread and on the over-under this season. Arizona remained the only undefeated team in the NFL by pacing the Cleveland Browns 37-14 in week six without head coach Cliff Kingsbury, who tested positive for COVID earlier that week and was forced to miss the game. Kyler Murray has been brilliant by both land and air. The Cardinals are 5-1 against the spread, 3-3 over under. The lines are Arizona -17.5, shaded down to -108, so it's -112. If you want to take 17.5 with the Texans, money line is stay away for the Cardinals, -1600, +800 for the Texans, though, if you're feeling froggy. The total is 47.5, with the under shaded to 112 and the under sitting at 108. I don't know. Same question as the previous three games. Do you see any value in the underdog, or are you just going to lay it with the Cardinals?
I see a little bit of value with the underdog. I'm pretty sure I wrote on this game last week and I said 100% go with the Colts -10.5. I don't think there's almost no game in the eternity of football that I'm going to say lay 17.5 on. The week before, Davis Mills had 3 touchdowns and he looked like a completely different quarterback. Obviously, Arizona is going to still win this game, but after Houston put up 3 points last week, there's no way I'm going to trust them to do any better against an Arizona team, which might have one of the best defensive players in the league in Chandler Jones on their side. They have Buda Baker in the secondary, one of the better safeties in the league. I'm going to probably roll with the under if I had to do anything in this. The under 47.5 looks good. Even if Kyler gets 4 touchdowns, honestly, even if he gets 5, it might still hit. So I would roll with the under. I would stay away from the points. I just don't trust 17.5 that much. But again, maybe tease it if you want. Even 11.5 is tough to go on because garbage time touchdowns. And
don't tease it.
Yeah. Don't tease it. Don't tease it.
Try to stick with the Wong teasers here. Get them under the key number of 3 or above the key number of 7.5. That's usually the rule of thumb for teasers. I do go a little bit off script here or there, but this isn't going to be one of those times. I love your take on the under. I actually am going to bring it to the window with me. It's under 47.5 with the under getting a little more juice. So it's being hit by sharp money, and it's actually a pros versus Joes game with more money being on the under, more tickets, bets being placed on the over. So sharp take by you. This line is outrageous. You can't get on either side of it with the sides, but Arizona's defense is going to be jacked up, I think, for Watt's first game against Houston. So I think, you know, he's going to want to ball out. They're going to want to ball out for him. Arizona as a favorite since 2019, which I think is Cliff Kingsbury's first year as head coach. They're 5-9 on the over under. So 9 unders, 5 overs. So when laying points, the game usually goes under for Arizona, and it's a sandwich spot for Arizona. They played in Cleveland last week. They're playing against Green Bay next week. Why would they show anything on offense if it doesn't have to? I think they'll get D-Hop a couple touchdowns or try to get him a couple touchdowns, because he's playing his former employer, but it's mostly, I think I could just see Arizona's offense mostly just trying to get Kyler through the game without any damage being done and it being a muted game script. So I do like the under 47.5 as well. That's it for the 4 o'clock slate, unless you have anything to add or any final thoughts about the 4 o'clock or 1 o'clock slate. What do you think?
No, I think it looks good. I think there's a lot to stay away from, but those double-digit spreads are just no joke, and I would not suggest playing many of them.
All right, let's move over to prime time here, where we have on Sunday Night Football, the Indianapolis Colts visiting the San Francisco 49ers. Indy won its second game in the last three tries with a 31-3 romp over the Houston Texans in week six. Don't look now, but Carson Wentz might not be the worst quarterback in NFL history. He's actually ranked 13th by PFF and 18th in EPA plus completion percentage over expectation composite. Indianapolis is 4-2 against the spread and 2-3 in the over-under. San Francisco's 2-3, but they are expected to have Jimmy G back under center with Trey Lance missing practices with an injury this week. The Niners were on a bye in week six, but they've lost three straight to Arizona, Seattle, and Green Bay heading into their bye. They're 1-4 against the spread, 2-3 on the over-under. The odds for this game, the Niners are favored 4.5, and it's priced at minus 105 with the Colts at minus 115 on the plus 4.5. Money line is Colts plus 170, 49ers minus 210. The over-under is 43.5 with the over juice to minus 117. The under sitting at minus 103. Nate Dogg, do you have a play in this game?
I do have a play, and it is 49ers minus 4.5. They're coming off a bye. They're at home. It's tough because I don't necessarily like betting against the Colts. I think they showed a lot versus the Ravens, and I'm sure you might go the exact opposite with this. But the Colts only have a couple good wins this season. They beat Houston. They beat Miami without Tua, and they've struggled against running quarterbacks. I know Trey Lance may not be in, but they gave up over 55 yards to Tannehill in a loss. They gave up over 50 yards and 400 passing yards to Jackson. I think the immersion of what we all thought Deebo Samuel would have been last year, what he's being this year, I think he's going to be able to give them enough hell to where the Colts don't have a ton of chances. I think the Colts, like their linebackers, the group with Leonard, I don't think they've necessarily been what their defenses thought they would be. The 49ers are 2-3, I believe. They just had their bye, but they actually only have good losses. They lost to Green Bay, they lost to Arizona, and I believe maybe the Rams, but I would have to check that. I know their third loss was someone that
wait a minute. Do moral losses count for a team that was in the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Does that happen?
You're allowed to lose the games a little bit when you're playing the Packers and the undefeated team in the NFL. I don't think the Colts have shown me enough. Carson Wentz is too inconsistent. I understand they got T.Y. Hilton back. Jonathan Taylor's playing well. I'm going with the 49ers minus 4.5. I think the week off helps. I think home field advantage helps. I don't think you like that pick, but we'll go with it.
No, we're up on this one, friend. Frank Reich is like a wunderkind, just like Kyle Shanahan. He's like one of the few like current head coaches in the Shanahan generation that's like stacked up against him. It's like Shanahan, Reich, Brian Flores, Sean McVay. Like, these guys are all like excellent coaches that are expected to have their team ready to prepare each week. It's kind of a muscle memory play for me. So like my biggest cash last year was fading the San Francisco 49ers. Granted, they were missing Jimmy G, but they were 8.5 point favorites, last year in week four on Sunday Night Football against Carson Wentz and the Philadelphia Eagles. Obviously separate teams, right? But I think Wentz is underrated, and I think San Francisco is overrated. Philly went on to win that game 25-20. I'm not a fan of this San Francisco team. And again, I do think the market hates Carson Wentz, which is evident by Indy's 4-2 against the spread record. And they love Shanahan, evident by their 1-4, San Francisco 1-4 against the spread record. We also have some reverse line movement in Indy's direction. There's more money on SF, but the Niners are down from a 4 or a 5 point favorite on the opener to 4.5 currently. Wentz is playing good, as I said before, and you made mention of T.Y. Hilton coming back in the lineup, so I think Indy's offense is trending up. Also, San Francisco is 5-13-1 against the spread as a home favorite since Shanahan took over in 2017, which just adds a little more credibility to my point, or some more intel to my point of I just think the market is overrate Shanahan, the San Francisco team. Indy is 2-0-1, so two wins and one push against the spread after a bye since Reich came to town in 2018 with a plus 7.3 point spread, point ATS margin differential. Did I say that right? I'm going to do it again, and I'm not going to edit it. I'm going to do it again. Reich and the Indianapolis Colts are 2-0-1 against the spread after their bye week with a plus 7.3 spread differential. Boom, nailed it. And they're 17-11-2 against the spread on the road. I like Indy, plus 4.5. So we're up on that one, buddy.
It's okay. Hey, it happens. It happens.
One of us are going to win this game, and that's good, right? Someone's going to win here.
I like it.
Let's
go. I'm feeling this next game, so.
Okay.
Go rip at it.
Yeah. We're going to Monday Night Football with the New Orleans Saints. Visit the Seattle Seahawks, but Russell Wilson less Seattle Seahawks. New Orleans are 3-2 after defeating the Washington football team 33-22 in week one, but were off last week. Saints have kind of turned into a primarily a defensive team thus far, but Sean Payton still figuring out ways for the offense to put up some points. New Orleans is 3-2 against the spread and 2-3 on the over-under. Seattle dropped to 2-4 and lost its first game with Geno Smith starting at quarterback. They lost 23-20 on Sunday Night Football to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they did cover as 5.5-point road underdogs. The Seahawks are 2-4 against the spread and 3-3 on the over-under. The odds for this game, according to Tipico Sportsbook, are Seahawks getting 4.5 at home, minus 108 to get the 4.5 with the Seahawks, minus 112 to lay the 4.5 with the Saints. Money lines are minus 230 for the Saints, plus 180 for the Seahawks. Over-under is 43.5 with the under juiced heavily to minus 117. The over is at minus 103. You Nate Dogg, insinuated you had some excitement for this game. What are you thinking?
Yeah, Monday Night Football, I'm hammering the Saints. Saints minus 4.5. The Seahawks aren't that great at home. They're 0-2 on the season. I'm pretty sure I looked up last season they weren't great at home. They have, let's look, the 30th best run defense, the 28th best pass defense. They can't stop anyone. When Russell Westbrook's not doing heroics, you don't have much offense. Chris Carson hasn't been the player they thought they drafted. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are only as good as if you can get them the ball. The Saints have a great defensive line. Their linebackers led by DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan's up front. Jameis Winston has been what we thought Jameis Winston would be. He has 4 touchdowns in 2 of their 5 games this season. The Saints are coming off a bye. They're heading to Seattle. Like I said, Seattle's not great at home. I'm not laying anything on the points because I can't trust Geno Smith. If anything, I'm going the under again, just because I'm not sure I trust Geno with the run game yet. But given how bad Seattle's defense has been at literally stopping anyone this season, I'm going with Saints minus 4.5, and that will be one of my better bets of the week.
Oh, man. Yeah, full agreement here. I'm with you. I'm more going to piggyback on your analysis. I thought it was pretty spot on. Again, we got a pros versus Joes game with the Joes actually betting the Seahawks for some reason. The pros betting the Saints. New Orleans has a better EPA. Pressure rate differential, EPA differential, third down conversion rate differential, and red zone conversion rate differential. Also, New Orleans has the best cover rate as a road favorite since 2016. They're 16-7 against the spread with a plus 5.1 point spread differential. So Sean Payton usually has his guys ready to go. Obviously, it's a different era of a New Orleans football, but I mean, Jameis Winston, like you said, has been doing a pretty good job as a game manager, and that's more or less what Drew Brees was in his final 2 seasons for New Orleans. They have some, you know, they have an awesome roster around him. You know, they're going to get better when they get Michael Thomas back, but Alvin Kamara is still one of the best skill position players in the league. Jameis Winston has a thing going with Marquez Callaway. And like you said, Seattle's defense is just terrible. I'm not going to add any more to it because why do I have to? You did a good job breaking that down. New Orleans does have extra prep time coming off of bye week. Seattle has a little less prep time playing on Sunday Night Football. So I'm with you. I like the Saints minus 4.5. We really got to check and chart these agreement plays and see how they do. You know, if we're 2-0 this week, then this is something we're going to have to bet money on next week or continue to do until we have a losing record. But if we lose, maybe we fade ourselves. I don't know, but it's been a strong breakdown of the NFL slate. Do you have anything, any final NFL thoughts?
I don't think so. I think just wrap it up. I think there's only two or three super strong plays of the week. I think all those double digit Sunday afternoon, I'd kind of stay away from if I were better. I might tease one or two, but probably not. I would stay away from a lot of the very favorite heavy plays and look towards more of the underdogs like Tennessee, like Miami. Maybe we'll find some value there.
Okay. Well, as we do in our every episode, we go to the window where we do our best bets, but I'll save that for a few minutes. Hopefully you have your best bets queued up for when we go to the window and you could talk about that. But let's talk briefly about some NBA stuff. So Tuesday, October 19th, was the first day of NBA action with the Milwaukee Bucks beating the Brooklyn Nets and the Golden State Warriors upsetting the Los Angeles Lakers. So we have a full slate here, several games on the Wednesday night slate. It's October 20th. Some of you guys won't get any value out of this part, you know, but some of you early listeners, maybe you can get to the window and follow any plays that I or Nate were to have here on tonight's NBA slate. We're not going to go through a full breakdown. I actually only have one pick here that I'm willing to give away. But Nate, do you have any NBA stuff that you can give the listeners?
All right, I'll do this real quick. I have a Sixers and Wolves money line parlay I'm taking. It was plus money when I checked it. The Wolves are like -5.5 versus Houston. Houston's super young. Jalen Green's going to – Christian Wood was out a ton of last year. Jalen Green's fresh. It's going to be his first action. Minnesota's getting experience. And then the Sixers without Ben Simmons. They were 7-7 without Ben Simmons. They're an average team. But the Pelicans are without Zion and – they're really going to trust Nickeil Alexander to step up with Brandon Ingram. I don't love it. My other one is I'm hammering Blazers spread. It's -5. They're at home. Damian Lillard's refreshed. He's loving Portland. They take on
Sacramento, right?
Who are they playing? Sacramento, yes. And they're on midseason form already. They told Marvin Bagley he's not even in the rotation. So you're really going to trust Tyrese Haliburton to take another step, maybe De'Aaron Fox to be good, Buddy Hield. But I'm going to lay my bet on the superstar of that game. So I like Blazers -5, Sixers Wolves money line parlay for plus money. Those are my two bets of the Wednesday evening.
All right. Well, I got one bet here for the Wednesday, October 20th NBA slate. Plug your nose. We're taking the Thunder +13.5, visiting the Utah Jazz. 90% of the money is on the Jazz. You know, it makes sense. The Jazz had the best record in the West last year, and they're an amazing regular season team. But I do like to fade the public in spots where they're going to be lopsided without a lot of intel, and I think that's the case here. Maybe you don't need a lot of intel to bet Utah on the spot because Utah is awesome, but OKC covered 2 of 3 last year versus Utah, and their last meeting in May, Oklahoma City lost against the spread by 0.5, and they were in, honestly, the craziest tank mode in NBA history. Like, they went to the G League for their role players last year. Towards the end, but this year, you know, they're going to have SGA and Lou Dort in the backcourt, a combination that I'm very high on this season. If these guys can stay healthy and stay on the court, I think Oklahoma City is going to surprise some teams. I'm not going to get too far into hyperbole here. And actually, Lou Dort outscored Donovan Mitchell in both games that they played last year. Like, Lou Dort went from a guy you can just leave anywhere on the court to shoot and whatever, you just leave him to, like, he is an above average, like, competent 3-point shooter. And he did that from his rookie year to his second season. I actually really like Lou Dort and SGA, and I'm going to take the 13.5 with the Thunder. It's not pretty, but hey, that's where the value is tonight, in my opinion. So fade or follow me and Nate and the NBA picks or all the NFL picks, but let's wrap this thing up like we usually do with our best bets in the final segment we like to call Going to the Window.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the Window.
All right, so all these games, all these handicaps are time-stamped, so you can go back and listen to any game that you want or listen to our best bets and more of the rationale. Last week, I went 3-2 in my best bets to move my record to 16-13-2 on the season. I hit on the Vikings money line and the under and the Packers Bears I also hit on the 6-point teaser with the Cardinals. I got them above 7.5. I think it was 9. And I got the Chiefs at minus a half point. So I cashed that one. My two losers were the Texans plus 8.5. And I got a money line parlay with the Broncos and the Cowboys that failed for me. I'll let you give away some of your best bets or your full slip if you want first, Nate. What do you have on your bet slip this week?
All right, three bets and a teaser. I have Titans plus 5.5 versus the Chiefs, Dolphins money line at plus 115, and I love the Saints at minus 4.5. Those three of those, I love them. And then my teaser is Patriots minus point, a 6-point teaser, Patriots minus 0.5, Packers minus 1.5, and the Panthers Giants under 48.5. So those four bets are what we're rocking with.
And just to refresh everyone's memory, the NBA plays.
The NBA plays. The only one that I would consider just hammering, I love Portland minus five.
Gotcha. Okay. On my bet slip this week, we have two of the same sides. I like the Titans plus 5.5, and I like the Saints minus 4.5. Like I said, we are oppo on the Colts and 49ers. I'm taking the Colts 4.5. I got three totals, actually three unders that I like. I'm liking under 47.5. Bengals, Ravens under 48.5 with the Washington football team and the Packers, and under 47.5 Texans versus Cardinals. My 6-point teaser is the Dolphins up to 8.5 and the Eagles, the Dolphins up to 8.5 at home against the Falcons, and the Eagles up to 9.5 on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders. My one NBA side for Wednesday, October 20th. Hopefully you guys listen enough time to get to the window on this one. But I like the Thunder plus 13.5. All right. Well, that does it for this Bet Slipping podcast. Awesome. Well, not really a debut. I was going to say debut for Nate, but he's been here before. But awesome debut in the catbird seat, riding shotgun here on the Bet Slipping podcast. Like always, I got to remind you guys to do us a favor, share, like, subscribe, review, follow, however you can consume and share this podcast, do that. Please show us some love wherever you get your podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, which I know accepts reviews. We got to get our review numbers up. Help us out there. We're also on Spotify. We're also on Google. So check out the Bet Slipping podcast. Also, check out our website, sportsbookwire.com, for all of our written handicaps from me, Nate, and our colleagues. That's it for the Bet Slipping podcast. Good luck on all your bets this week. Until next time, peace.
This is the Bet Slipping podcast, featuring Jeff Clark from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slipping podcast.